So good morning, everybody. I'm going to talk about Ireland and specifically update on the New Ireland Fund. Coming on the back of Christopher's general setting of the scene in Europe, just talk about Ireland, which itself is a pretty unique and differentiated story within that European context. So I've used the phrase in terms of the title on in terms of brilliant and balanced recovery. That was the statement that the European Commissioner on Economics made in February of this year when he was doing the European forecast from the European Commission. So that was the phrase he used in terms of Ireland. I think as the portfolio manager for the fund for many, many years, that's how I currently feel also about the portfolio. So with that said, just to give you an update on New Ireland Fund, the fund itself was launched, incorporated in 1989. It was launched in 1990, so we're now into our 26th year of the fund. Over that time, it's delivered something like 10% annualised return over that period. It clearly is a strong play on Ireland and the Irish economy. The Irish economy this year, and this is where the brilliant and balance came from, 2015 the economy grew at 6.9%. For 2016, we're forecast to grow at a further 6%. And I think the main message from my presentation is not just growth, but one of sustained growth. And I'll give you some sense on that as we talk through the presentation. We are part of Europe, and to put that into context, Ireland is 1% of Europe. So when we talk about Europe, as Christopher has talked about, Europe is the largest economy en masse. It's 28, there are 28 countries in the EU, and that's 500 million plus people. So Ireland's 4 million of that, just to put it into context. So we are pretty unique, I guess, and our own story is pretty unique within that context. Within that, the New Ireland Fund itself, as I say, the fund, and I'm the portfolio manager on the fund, it's a combination of capturing that growth with very attractive value. I would tend to be more of a GARP-oriented portfolio manager. I don't tend to like paying up for stocks. I tend to like seeking stocks at attractive valuations with attractive growth prospects. And the fund itself, also, as I'll show later, has a managed distribution policy. We are conscious these days that investors don't just want growth, but with low interest rates, yield itself is something that people are very, very much more conscious of. So the portfolio itself has a managed distribution of 8%. So just to give you an update on the macro, and this we spoke also at this conference last year. So Ireland, in terms of, I'll give you an update on growth, I'll give you an update on the economic fundamentals and also economic policies. So in terms of growth, here's our picture. The dark green bars are the history of the Irish economy over the last decade. So you can see we had a terrific boom up to 2007 with the pretty dramatic crash in 2008 along with the global economy. But we certainly fell further than most in that context, and property was a large part of that fall. I think what's been incredible is we've now had 7 years in a row of growth since that, and that's sustainable. And I'll give you some sense of that as we talk through the next couple of slides. So a very, very positive trajectory from the growth perspective. And we show that against the broader European picture as well. From the government's point of view, I know there was lots of debate here when I was here 2 or 3 years ago about austerity. Is austerity a good or a bad thing? I think this is the Irish story. So we did take the medicine. The public did take the medicine. We worked that through with both the government and the IMF. And you can see the results. And this is just taking one measure, which is our budget deficit. So on these projections, by 2017, we'll actually have a budget surplus, which has been a phenomenal turnaround. The opposite side of that is the government are now starting to give back, so there are tax decreases coming through. There's some money coming back to consumers. So that austerity in our case has definitely worked as a case study. The other side, if I'm a corporate, and what matters mostly in the portfolio is companies, the companies we invest in. So we're just showing one measure of why a company might be happy to be doing business in Ireland, and this is the other side of that austerity. Unit labour costs fell dramatically, and particularly against, we're just showing here, the Eurozone as a whole, or also the US. So as an attractive place to do business, this is just your unit labour costs. So a lot gets talked about tax. But this is your unit labour cost site, so it's showing a very competitive environment for companies to invest in. Clearly, one of the challenges is going forward to make sure that the country remains competitive and that we don't repeat the mistakes of 2006, 2007, when we sort of outpriced ourselves, particularly within the property side. So that's from a company point of view. I think more importantly then is, you know, what does it matter from a consumer point of view? So this is showing our unemployment rate. So there's been a pretty dramatic drop in the unemployment rate. We're still not down to some of the lower levels that we got to in the past, but unemployment is dropping relatively sharply, and the consumer is generally feeling good about itself. So I'd say in terms of a mix, in terms of doing that, what's different today to, say, 2 years ago, we still have much, much higher growth rates. I'd say the construction of that growth rate is very different. So 2 years ago, it was very much driven by net exports, multinationals, with the domestic economy feeling pretty poor. So if you went around Ireland 2 years ago, it didn't feel very robust, as the headline GDP figures were showing. If you did the same today, you'll definitely notice a difference. You know, there's much more traffic on the roads. Anecdotally, I get out of bed a quarter of an hour earlier now to get to work at the same time. So there's more traffic on the roads. Hotels are busy. Restaurants are busy. So as much, it's rotated more to the domestic economy from that perspective. So that unemployment rate is more positive. Migration was mentioned by the previous speaker. We are now seeing a net immigration back into the country of about 25,000 this year expected. So things have turned around pretty quickly, I guess, from that perspective. We've had a general election. You know, I don't expect you to read all this. The answer is on our general election, pretty much like elections all around the world, we've seen much more splintering from the traditional parties dominating. There's been more, particularly in Ireland's case, more left-wing parties and more right-wing parties, with the centre being held out to a certain extent. As of now, 3 weeks after our election, we have no government. I don't think we're going to be like Spain. I think we will have a government in the next week or so, and it looks like it'll be a minority-supported government from the centre. The good news is, you know, there'll be no major change in policies. So irrespective of who's in charge or who's not in charge, from a policies point of view, it looks like our economic policies are set forward from that perspective. So lots of interest from journalists right now in Irish politics, but from my perspective as a portfolio manager, it's not something that I'm spending too much time concerning about. Just in terms of the broader European side, you've already had this from the previous speaker. The good news is I'm not going to contradict anything he said. I think the good news for Europe, from my perspective, is Europe is growing. The bad news is it's growing slowly. But nonetheless, I guess the kind of 1.7, 1.8% growth rate is not terribly different to what we're seeing even in the US these days, where the economy looks like it's growing at around 2%. So I think that post-crisis debt deflationary type world we're all in with low interest rates, you know, nominal growth rates of 2 to 3% are typically what we're expecting to happen. So the good news from my perspective is Europe is growing. It is Ireland's largest trading partner, and it accounts for about 50% of the profits in the portfolio as a whole. So Europe does matter from that perspective. In terms of why Europe's doing well, we've already seen this is European interest rates. This is what Mario Draghi's been doing. That's sort of, you know, pushing interest rates down, as we've seen in the UK, as we've seen in the US, as we've seen in Japan. Global central banks very much pushing interest rates, pushing deposits down. And to the comments or the question by the previous questioner in terms of banks, this is obviously to try and get banks to lend more, which to date has been, you know, relatively tepid in terms of bank activity on that side. Out of interest, Ireland, as I show at the bottom here, we launched our first ever 100-year bond in March at a yield of 2.35%. Just to put that into context, 6 years ago, speaking at the same conference, the Irish 10-year bond yield was 14%, and nobody would buy it. So this just shows in terms of how markets can be either fickle or rational. The notion of giving any government a loan for 100 years at 2.35% with no inflation protection sort of begs, just shows you what an unusual world we're in right now. In terms of what's happening, what's helping Europe right now, this is the euro-dollar exchange rate. So you can see, actually, interestingly, and again, as highlighted previously, the euro dollar has actually stopped, the dollar has stopped appreciating for over a year now. So people talk about the strong dollar. From my perspective, the strong dollar ended in April of last year. And since last April, we've been in a range of kind of 107 to 115 against the euro. So that's sort of interesting itself. So, but the weaker euro has helped, particularly from a competitiveness point of view. The other thing that's helped, and this is showing the European business confidence, again, this is the PMIs that the previous speaker showed, that both manufacturing and services. The good news, again, is they're all over 50, so very similar to the US. Above 50 means expansion, below 50 means contraction. So when people ask me, when will Europe ever grow again, you know, I sort of say, well, Europe's been growing for 3 or 4 years now. It's just at a very slow pace. So the PMIs are a good example of that. And then Brexit, comments on Brexit. Obviously, from our perspective, we're just showing you the facts here in terms of Brexit. I think the reasonable expectation is that voters opt for certainty and safety. The polls show 50-50 as to whether the UK leaves or not. I think all I would say is, rather than giving a forward-looking statement, just look at where the bookies are. And the bookies are, all the money for the bookies is that there's a 33% chance that Britain exits and 67% chance that they remain. So typically over time, the bookies tend to win more than the punters. So that's certainly where the markets are at. We have seen some of the risk priced into sterling in particular. So I think a vulnerability would be sterling if should the UK exit. But obviously, there's plenty of water to go under the bridge between now and June, and a very heated debate. Probably has as many implications for UK politics beyond whether it happens or doesn't happen. I think the Tory party itself will probably be interesting to watch after the election. So it is a risk. I think from my perspective as the portfolio manager, it's a risk that I manage within the construction of the portfolio. So some of the companies do have exposure to the UK. Sterling is a particular exposure within that, so that's something that as PM I have obviously a role to manage that risk, but it's no different to the risks that we manage at any point in time. It's Brexit today, it's something else in 6 months' time, but it is topical. In terms of the portfolio itself, the New Ireland portfolio is an active managed concentrated portfolio. It's about 20 to 25 stocks, all bottom-up stock picking from my perspective. Very unique stories, very interesting stories. I tend to play the portfolio through themes, and I'll give you an example of some of those in a couple of minutes. In terms of the diversification of the portfolio, it is a nicely diversified portfolio, as we show here, from an industry group perspective. At this point in time, four industry groups, in terms of that balance, it's a balance between cyclical growth and secular growth. So we have some construction stocks, some airlines, Ryanair being the second largest stock in the portfolio right now. And on the other side, a number of strong consumer names, particularly in the consumer-branded foods type sectors. Banks is a pretty small portion of this portfolio. I tend to be pretty underweight banks. I don't particularly like banks. We hold one bank in the portfolio at the moment, Bank of Ireland. So I think I'm finding much more interest elsewhere at this point in time. So nice diversification from that perspective. Here's just some examples of some of the themes. Domestic economy is clearly something, if you're growing at 6 or 7% per annum, there's about 7 or 8 very interesting domestic Ireland-oriented companies in there. I highlight one company called Dalata, which is a hotel group, which now controls 50% of the available beds in Dublin. So if any of you have visited Dublin in the last year or two, you know, room rates have been moving up pretty quickly, and it's been difficult to get hotel rooms. So these guys are a very, very strong play on that. And really dominating that market. So that's a company we really like. Bank of Ireland, I've mentioned already. And then on the sort of what I call quality cyclicals, I just highlight two names here. Grafton Group is equivalent to Lowe's Corporation in the US. So this is a play on house building. So one of the things we're not doing right now is building new houses. We oversupplied houses 5 years ago, 6 years ago. We built 100,000 houses in 2007. We built 5,000 last year. So we've gone from one extreme to the other, so we need to build more houses, and also people will repair and renovate their existing houses as they feel better. So Grafton's a strong play on that as an example. And then in terms of what I call world-class companies, Ryanair, you've probably all heard about it, So Ryanair is the fastest growing airline for many, many, many years across Europe. They will carry over 100 million passengers this year, and that story just continues to go from strength to strength. And then Kerry Group, which is a very high quality food ingredients company with large operations in North America and Asia. So they're just some examples of some of the stocks in the portfolio. So to cut to the chase, in terms of, you know, why would you buy the Ireland Fund and what makes the Ireland Fund different? To me, it's about four things. It's about interesting companies that are excellently managed at reasonable valuations. And I just show on the left-hand side here, I suppose what's different today to this year, to last year or the year before is the PE ratio I just show on the left-hand side. That's showing the PE ratio of Ireland against the broad MSCI Europe. So today we're pretty much on the same valuation as the rest of Europe. Up to this year, that would have been cheaper. So you were getting Ireland cheaper. Today it's typically around the same multiples. What's different is the growth. So on the right-hand side, you're getting, you know, three or four times the earnings growth than you are getting in the rest of Europe for the same price. So if you sort of do a price-to-growth ratio, which investors might look at, that's where the attractiveness still is, and that's where the outperformance comes from. It's that superior growth coming through. And that's something that I don't expect just for this year, but I expect that again for the next couple of years. So it's that you know, superior growth. So the sustained economic rebound is key to this, obviously, and that's what the companies themselves are, if they're properly managed, can benefit from. Just a comment on the managed distribution. So this is just showing the facts in terms of the managed distribution, in terms of the quarterly distribution from the fund, the annualized distribution yield, and from both market and NAV basis. So it's sort of in that 8 to 9% basis. That is, from my perspective as a portfolio manager, all out of long-term capital gains. So it's not eating into my capital as such from that perspective. So that's something I think that's been well received typically by shareholders in this environment. Just in terms of how does this look over the longer term, so we're going back here to the bottom of the markets in 2009. So the yellow bit line being the New Ireland Fund, the green line being the Irish Stock Market Index, so that's what I'm benchmarked against. So as an active manager, and there's been talks about ETFs all morning, so as an active manager to defend my patch, it's good when yellow's over green, and I think you can see here yellow's been above green consistently, so that's why I get to sit here. But if you look at that in another way, the portfolio has returned. I've mentioned already that since inception it's returned about 10% per annum. Over the last 1, 3, 5 years and 7 years, it's delivered something like 20% per annum return approximately, and it's detailed in the annual shareholders letter. But that's the typical type of returns that means, and that's something obviously that we're very proud of. I made the comment about Ireland being a small part of Europe. This is showing Ireland, the stock market, within a broader European context. And I think this is interesting to advisors or to investors. You know, if you want to play Europe, you can buy a broad European index and get 0.8% exposure to Ireland. Or you can also take a stock-specific bet and put a bigger portion in there. And this just shows Ireland relative to the rest of Europe. So clearly we're a minnow. Hopefully a bright one at that. So, you know, UK is 30% of the European index, just to put it into context. And that's about it from my perspective. So I've got a minute and a half left, so I better leave it open to some questions.
Hi. Ireland has benefited a lot from the so-called corporate inversions from the United States over the years. I think quite a few major American corporations have their headquarters domiciled technically in Ireland. Do you have, is this with the current administration's basic shutting down of that, is that any concern for the Irish economy going forward?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we would say we haven't benefited from inversions. We've invested from multinational investment in Ireland over 20 or 30 years, which are real manufacturing companies with real jobs. So inversions is a story of the last couple of years. Ireland does not like inversions. Irish government policy does not want inversions. So that sort of brass-plated office place with an accountant and a CFO in place. It's not something Ireland wants, so I think that would be welcomed if the administration were to close that down. There is new legislation out under this BEPS legislation to stop this, and Ireland is the first country to sign up to being fully compliant with BEPS. So I think as a headline it's noisy, but I would say in reality it hasn't affected what I invest in or the economy as a whole. The real economy to me is, if any of you drive to Cork, where I went to college, drive around the harbour in Cork and you'll see 8 of the top 10 pharmaceutical companies in the world all located around there, and they've been there for 10, 20, 30 years. That's what we're interested in. But it's a good question because it's very topical.
So if I can ask a question, based on your chart, we're getting the same valuation from a P perspective, despite the fact that you have three times the earnings growth. So the expectation from your point of view is that the market would value the opportunity differently?
Would
value the opportunity differently, meaning that...
I think, from my perspective at this stage, I think I wouldn't be expecting further multiple expansion on the market. I just think the market will grow into its earnings growth, which is attractive. And that's really what that slide was to show, is that we have attractive earnings growth for 2016. And I believe as I roll that into 2017, you'll have a very similar attractive earnings growth. And that is superior to anywhere else.
And you mentioned that growth is sustainable.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.